Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I think a lot of parents are more concerned about what I call sin control in their home. Boy, I don't want my kids to do drugs.
I don't do drugs, though. Just weed.
I don't want them to be immoral.
Peer pressure is a terrible thing when you're a girl in college. Sure.
Oh, when it comes to the media, I want to make sure they're not going to the R-rated stuff.
No one can come to the phone. They're out seeing my new movie. So show them some respect and leave a message, because I don't get no respect at all.
Well, that's the absolute wrong approach. It's not about sin control. It's about thriving teenagers. It's a balance of trying to live a holy life in front of a holy God, at the same time navigating some pretty tough and rough issues today of raising kids.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're talking about social media today and tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. Remember that APU is on iTunes U. You can check out chapel services and special campus speakers, video blogs, and short films about the APU experience when you go to apu.edu/iTunes, and that's just another way iTunes is that kids are connecting through social media. But what happens if they are hyper-connected? Today on the program, part two of Jim's conversation with Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family's Plugged In magazine, and we're going to keep on talking about tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids, and this is a conversation that you need to be aware of. And now, here's part one of today's program with Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very excited to have a continuing conversation with Bob Waliszewski. Tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids is what we're talking about today. Bob serves as the Director of Media and Culture for Focus on the Family. He's also the Director of Plugged In, which is a great, great website designed to equip parents and kids and youth leaders to better understand and navigate this crazy culture that we're in. He helps us understand media in a big way. This is a part of the initiative that Homeward has called the Creating a Media Safe Home. Bob, it's great to have you back with us.
Well, Jim, I woke up this morning, honestly, pumped that it was like, this is the day Jim Burns is going to be in Colorado Springs, and I get to do another interview.
That's
so
right.
I'm grateful.
That's right. We're here at the Focus on the Family studios. Now, you may not remember this, but last time I came to Focus on the Family, because you guys dress up a little more. You know, in California, we're not as dressed up as you. I remember I had to call you because I forgot any nice hard shoes. I brought the slacks. I brought the shirt. I don't know if you remember this, but I had to call you. But I found a Walmart that was a 24-hour Walmart here in Colorado Springs, and I bought $9 shoes. I just want you to know that.
Do you still wear them?
I don't. I unfortunately threw them away right afterwards. So it was a quick $9 thing. But today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, actually, as we talk about creating media safe home. I can't think of anybody better to have this conversation with than you. And music. You know, when I think of what you do at Focus on the Family and I think of media, I think of obviously of the movie side, but also music. And, you know, the music industry, Bob, and I know you agree with me, has changed dramatically in the past 10 years. You know, when my kids, who are in their early 20s, were 10 years ago, were young and starting to get into it, I could pretty much listen to every kind of music they had because it was typically on a CD. You know, but today it's on, you know, MP3 players and it's coming over the internet and it's just so hard to kind of discern. I noticed that in 2008, iTunes passed Walmart as the number one music retailer. So, I mean, life has changed. Mm-hmm. How does a parent keep up with the music that's influencing their kids?
You know, I often say we have to enter our kids' entertainment world. And for many kids, their entertainment domain has this big parents keep out sign figuratively over the door. And so kids are in the back of our car and they often have their earbuds in and they're listening to their iPod. And hopefully not our listeners, but some consider it an invasion of their privacy if you were to say, I would really like to borrow your iPod, and when I'm exercising today or when I'm out taking a walk this afternoon, I'd like to listen to everything that you're listening to.
Oh, my kids would have been upset about that, and yet it is exactly what I had to do.
And it's what every parent has to do.
Sure.
And I know we have some parents going, I think I might be a little uncomfortable. Well, it might be uncomfortable, but you know what? I think it's really, really necessary. Not so that we crack the whip and we have another reason to be angry. That's not what it's about. It's the fact that the culture has this dark side. Now, fortunately, it also has its positive side. On the music, I think of Switchfoot or The Fray, you know, some good, popular, top-charting stuff that's positive out there. Right. But there's also just a host of a very negative, sexually charged, raunchy stuff out there that if our kids are into, it would be nice if we know so we could deal with it.
Now, what do you say to the parent when the parent says, but my kids say they don't listen to the words. They listen to the, they have the beat, but they don't listen to the words.
Yeah, I think I've been hearing that now. In fact, I probably even used that as an excuse myself. Very honest with you, Jim. I became a Christian at age 15. I was a youth pastor in my most of my 20s, and it was halfway through my youth pastoring career before God got my attention when it came to media. In fact, it was a kid in my youth group who handed me something called a cassette, whatever those were. I'm trying to remember back to what a cassette was, but it was by a guy kind of like me, I guess, kind of a radically charged, Jesus cares about what you watch and what you listen to kind of thing. And I listened to this tape, and when I think back, this was not one of my radical kids in my youth group. I don't even know why he handed it to me, but he did. I listened to it. It changed my life. And at that point in time, I realized I had to make a lot of changes in my own life. And music was really one of those major areas. In fact, I would say, and I can keep rambling on this, but my wife and I didn't have many things we argued about, and still to this day don't. But in our early marriage, music was our major firestorm issue because she wanted Christian tunes or at least wholesome tunes, and I was the hard rocker guy who was still listening to the likes of whatever was popular back then in that time frame.
Well, you know, back then music was important. Your parents' music was important. My parents' music important. But today music is just as important or even more so.
Yes.
And so one thing as parents I think we forget is that music really takes the culture in all kinds of directions, and we have to be aware of it. That's why we've got to get our arms around the music.
Well, for instance, let's give it a little bit of a topic. Let's say our kids are going through a rough spot in their lives, and who doesn't go through? Then that can lead to getting a little depressed, and boy, I feel really, really down and low. And then what happens is that, and Christian kids are vulnerable here too, they often seek out music that is depressing and nihilistic and has hopeless sounding lyrics, and they do it, and they say, well, I relate now to the artists because they understand the pain and the hurt and the depression and the darkness that I'm going through. Well, I say, wait a minute, that's the absolute opposite a kid needs at that moment. Rather than wallow in the muck with people who have no answers, find somebody who has the answers. And fortunately for every genre out there, there are people now that have the answers. Now, that wasn't true, say, 30 years ago, second chapter of Acts, you know, Barry Maguire. There wasn't a whole lot on the harder side of things. But now, I don't care what the genre is, there are believers who are putting that out with Christ-centered lyrics that gives hope instead of the nihilism.
Right. You know, you mentioned that because there's really good music out there that's done in a, it's not really so much the beat. I mean, back in the old days, you had people like Martin Luther and you had Charles Wesley and some of the people who also wrote hymns, and they were kind of doing it to beer drinking songs, and they'd put, you know, Christian music to it. So I don't hear you saying that we should be as upset about the particular style of beat. It's more the words.
Yeah, and I would even go, and I definitely agree with that. I would even go further. And one other common thing I hear from Christian teens is, well, Christian music is just not up to the quality of the secular music that I listen to. So a while back, I actually interviewed three music producers that had their foot in both worlds, Christian and secular, to ask that. One of them was Michael O'Martian, and I said, is it really true? And it went on to say, there may have been a time where you could have made that argument. He said, but with the equipment today, he says, people can put out a first-rate album in their basement and really have very little knowledge about how to put it together because the equipment is so superior. So gone is that day. And then several of the other two that I interviewed went on to say that in many ways, the Christian community is putting out superior and not getting their credit for that. And I'm not one of those either that say it has to only be Christian lyrics. And I know neither are you. I actually think there's three types of entertainment: positive, neutral, and negative. And I try to advise that Jesus would advise too, to stay away from the negative, but the positive and the neutral are just fine. What's an example of neutral? Something along the lines of, I looked in her eyes, she looked in my eyes, I grabbed her hand and we walked along the beach. You know, it's not going to change the world. It's not going to end world hunger, but it's just neutral, right. A love song. And that type of music is just fine. I do believe our Savior would let his disciples listen to all the neutral music in the world out there.
I do want to talk about the positive side to music, like you were mentioning, the positive side to movies. You know, there's some stuff out there right now that is really positive. Let's take the movies, for example. Some movies that I know you've been a part of, Fireproof, or you've reviewed and you know the people. Fireproof, it's a neat story of some people who got this movie going in a small church setting, and you know, today it's influencing a lot of people. There's a really positive side to this because Christians probably should be involved in media, shouldn't they?
Absolutely. In fact, I believe that a couple of things come to mind. Number one is we've got listeners right now whose kids are extremely gifted in the arts. They love their drama program at their school. When they write things like school papers and whatever, it's like parents aren't biased, but they'd like A+, A+, and their teachers are giving them A+. And they're thinking, these kids could write scripts for television, and they could be writing movie scripts and whatever. Well, and the parents are going, yeah, but they're sold out radical kids for Christ. I'm thinking they probably ought to be a missionary, and maybe I ought to try to encourage them to maybe be a youth minister like Jim, you were, and Bob, you were. And those are all great callings. But for some of these kids, their calling is to go into Hollywood and invade Hollywood and be salt and light, because you can be a pastor and maybe preach to 1,000 or have a mega church and preach to 10,000, or you could put out a film and maybe you're going to have a chance to preach to 6 million or 20 million or 50 million and get the gospel in like the folks at Sherwood Baptist. So whenever that kind of quality art comes down the pike, and it's getting better and better all the time, I think we also should support it. And for those of us, again, who have gifted children in that area, say, you know what? And just plant the seed. Perhaps the Lord would use you to do something like that someday.
Well, that's a great conversation to have with your kids, and especially as kids are becoming more multimedia savvy. I mean, they have to, because of the projects that they're putting together, the different applications that are available in social media. I'm amazed at the video that kids are shooting on their Androids and iPods these days, and the fact that they can edit so well. It's encouraging that the Kendrick brothers are kind of giving way to the Irwin brothers. There are so many other Christian media organizations. And as more Christian universities are stepping up, I know out here in Southern California, APU and some of the others are really making a concentrated effort to give students the tools that they need. This is a way that we can, if you want to talk about reaching out to hyper-connected kids, if this is their love language, then we can encourage them to make it a positive expression. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, so grateful to have Bob Waliszewski with us, the editor of Plugged In magazine from Focus on the Family and Plugged In Online, and Dr. Jim Burns, Bob, their surfing buddies. They're having a great conversation here. And in just a moment, we'll hear the conclusion of Jim's conversation with Bob Waliszewski on these tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
It was such a waste of time.
Oh, I know. I mean, by the time Dad gave me the, you know, Tina, alcohol is a drug speech, I could already mix a drink better than he could.
Well, duh, you learn how? By watching him.
Yeah, but you know what's really weird is that, like, he thinks we've never had alcohol before.
Hello, remember that block party in the 4th of July?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah, I was so out of it. I was in bed till, like, noon the next day.
Well, if you have a 16-year-old at home and you haven't done anything to educate him about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse, well, you've missed a golden opportunity to drug-proof your child. Well, since kids deal with the temptation of drugs almost every day, education has to start early. Alcohol and other drug use can't be one of those avoided subjects in your home. As a parent, the worst thing you can do about our nation's drug problem is nothing. So if you need information, get it. You can start by downloading a free copy of our tip sheet called 8 Points for Drug-Proofing Your Kids when you go to our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, Bob Waliszewski with us today. We're talking about tips for reaching out to hyper-connected kids. Are your kids hyper-connected? If your kids are teenagers, they probably are. We're talking about creating a media-safe home today. Got to move to the world of video games. You know, this is something that has just taken over the world. especially with young people, but also old folks like you and I are playing video games like crazy too. I'd like your take on video games. A lot of parents are still asking the questions, is it all good? Is it all bad? I mean, there's some great video games. There's some horrible video games. There are kids who get addicted to video, mm-hmm. to gaming. But I'd love to get your insight as a parent of teens. How involved do you let them be with video games, and what's your take on them?
Here's a stat for you I brought with me. 8.5% of video gamers are pathologically or clinically addicted to the medium, according to Harris Interactive Survey.
Wow.
8.5. So we're getting almost close to 10% pathologically or clinically addicted. So there's a problem, number one. Even among good games, there is going to be a percentage that are going to overdo. I'll give you a case in point. A few years ago, Dr. Dobson was doing a program on video gaming. He asked me if I'd be part of it. I was thrilled to be, but I wanted to do a little extra research. So I found a young man in town who was a believer, is a believer, and but I knew he also knew a lot about video games. I said, can I come over and look over your shoulder? He said, sure. When I got there, it was a three-day holiday weekend, President's Weekend, and I showed up on a Monday. So the day before, Sunday, I said, how many hours did you spend playing video games? Thinking one or two, maybe three or whatever. And he says, nine, I guess. I thought, whoa, I'm in for a guy who's serious about this. And I said, how much have you played so far today? And because I got about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it showed up at his place. And he said, 5 hours so far. Well, I looked over his shoulder for another two as I was doing the research. And when I left, he was still playing. I would say he probably put another nine. Well, again, that's the kind of thing that, and again, a Christian young man, and then in his teens, now in his 20s, who would say, I love Jesus, but 9 hours, I don't care if it's a Bible study. It's too much time to do
right,
anything.
Right.
So then, okay, we got the addiction part. But on the other side of the coin, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think for the Wii games and for the phone, you can get some exercise in and have family fun, play them, but limit it. In my own home, my daughter didn't care. My son did, but I said when he was younger, I said 30 minutes a day, and we actually had a timer by the computer. He played more on the computer, and then when he got older, I expanded it to an hour. But set that limit, put the limit and say, I'm not done. It goes off, you know, you end it at an hour.
Yeah, it's a game.
It's a game.
So it's great to finish it, but you know, life is going to go on. With kids today, you're talking about there's this addictive nature, and we talk about sexual addiction here on our broadcast a lot of times, and we'll talk about various things, but you mentioned the addiction to video games. With the amazing amount of media that's thrown into us, it seems to me that a lot of kids are just addicted to this. Do you ever suggest that they take a fast from media, or, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, my good friend, and I think your good friend too, Al Menconi,
sure.
is one of those who's been on that. He, on the music side, he's been talking about a 30-day media diet or fast for years. That's part of one of his main messages. On the video game side of things, what a great thing for parents to do to unplug. Now, you've got to work that issue with your kids. You know, there's a way to unplug and there's a way not to. There's an angry way that we pull the plug out and we cut the cord, or we give the console to Goodwill and we say, no more in this household. Well, that's probably not going to do a whole lot of good. And there's a whole nother thing that says, hey, how about for 30 days, we turn it off and we concentrate on something else, you know? It's a parental approach, but it'll make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's a great idea. And what it means is parents have to be more engaged and involved in the culture and in the media. And there are just times to take it off. And it helps kids learn to discern what's being thrown at them. You have something at Plugged In that's called the Family Covenant for God-Honoring Media Choices. And I really like that. And I want you to talk about it.
You know, I think it was about a year ago, I needed a painter at my house. And
you didn't call me.
I know, I didn't call
you. Well,
you
wouldn't want to. Kathy doesn't even call me.
But I did call a person that I'd never met. I had had somebody at Focus give a recommendation, and those things can turn out good and they can turn bad. And this the gal that owned the company got out of my house, and she and I walked around my house. I bet she wasn't in my place longer than 15, maybe 20 minutes. And she said, I'll call you with a bid. She called me the very next day, and it sounded reasonable to me. And I said, let's go with it. Ooh, you know what? it actually worked out, but that's probably not the way to establish a painting contract, everything all verbal. But the same types of things go on in the home every single day when it comes to media. We try to keep everything verbal. And realizing the importance of written contracts and how safeguarding they are in the business world when we're building a home or we're buying an auto and the contracts that go involved. Some time ago, I'm trying to even think, maybe it was over a decade ago, because mine for my family, I brought with me, we signed in 2002, but I realized how important it was to put in writing. And here's the gist of it. I wrote a contract, and people can download it at pluggedin.com if they want mine, or they can write their own. And essentially, it says, in a nutshell, we're not trying to be legalistic here, and we're not earning any brownie points with God, but because he loves us so much and he's holy, we'd really like to line up with some of his ways of doing things. And in the area of entertainment, that would be one way to line up with his ideas too. And I started out by saying this, and here's how I wrote it. As family members committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and wanting to live out personal holiness as he commands, we pledge from this day forward to honor God in our media choices. Despite poor decisions that we may have made in the past, we desire, and then I go on from there. But people can get the point of it, that we're trying to set and establish a covenant, something in writing, similar to the stones that the Israelites stacked up when they crossed over the Jordan and the Lord dried it up and they stacked a bunch of stones. It was a memorial. It was to look back on. So when this is in a frame or it's on the refrigerator or it's somewhere in our home, it kind of keeps the argument level down because we all signed it. In my family, my wife signed it, my daughter signed it, my son signed it, I signed it, and we kept ourselves accountable, which doesn't mean that everything was all perfect and rosy and glorious after then, but I'll tell you, there's some power here, Jim. There was some power here in this written contract.
You know, I think it's not the answer all, but I think that if a mom and a dad would do something like that, they would just put together this family covenant, they can download it, plugged in, they can use yours, or they can create something differently. But if they'll do it, it's going to open up the dialogue.
Yes.
And that's one of the important aspects. And it doesn't have to be legalistic. It can be much more about learning, because really, we're not trying to raise kids who are totally obedient. We're trying to raise responsible adults.
That's right.
And the way you do that is to have covenants. You know, God has covenants with us. We have covenants every day with our business and whatnot. And I just feel like what you're saying and what you're doing would be one of those great practical ways to help people create a media safe home.
Well, I think a lot of parents are more concerned about what I call sin control in their home. Boy, I don't want my kids to do drugs. Yeah. I don't want them to be immoral. Oh, when it comes to the media, I want to make sure they're not going to the R-rated stuff because I don't want to embarrass me at church if my kids start talking about that movie and whatever. Well, that's the absolute wrong approach. It's not about sin control. It's about thriving teenagers. Now, how do we get them to thrive? Well, at the same time, we don't want to throw God's holiness standards out, baby with the bathwater, and say, well, okay, well, then thriving must mean that. No, it's a balance. It's a balance of trying to live a holy life in front of a holy God, at the same time navigating some pretty tough and rough issues today of raising kids.
Great input. Bob, thank you for being with us.
Oh, Jim, it's always a pleasure.
Just great, great stuff.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Bob Waliszewski here on the Homeward Broadcast. The name may not be familiar to you, but you know who he's affiliated with. Plugged In Online and Focus on the Family. If you've ever gone to a Plugged In movie review, you find how accurate it is and very, very helpful and essential for us as parents to have that conversation. And Jim, I know you've mentioned often that your daughters have said, hey, Plugged In gave it a good review. Is it okay for me to go? But having that media conversation with our kids is so important that we talk about media safety. And there's another conversation that we need to have with our kids too, and it involves the S word. And before you start to cover your kids' ears, remember, we're talking about stewardship. This is an important dialogue, and we have a new resource to help parents do that.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that, and yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives.
Yeah.
These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
Well, these are great tip sheets. We are so grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company who give godly advice to investors all the time, had a heart for parents and kids and getting parents to talk to kids about money. And so they partnered with us to create these tip sheets. And when you go to homeward.com, you hit the articles and media button, type in the keyword where it says get answers. You write in steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T, and you'll find these tip sheets. They're so helpful. They're biblical principles that you can use to teach your kids about stewardship and what it means for saving, spending, investing, and giving. You'll find that all at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.